Today's daf is Erech and daf Chav Zayin. We left off on daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We just read the Mishnah about a person, a son, who buys a field from his father and is then makdish the field. So does the field have the status of steachuza, so that he can redeem it and keep it, or does the field have a status of a ste mikne? So the Mishnah had said that if the son buys the field from the father and then the father dies and then the son is makdish it, so it's certainly like a steachuza. That everyone would say is like a steachuza. But if the son is makdish the field first and then the father dies, then it's a machlokas. Reb Meir holds it's like a stay mikne, because at the time that he was makdishit, it was not yet his achuza, he didn't yet inherit it. And Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon say that it's like a stay achuza, because anything that's ra'ui to be a stay achuza has the status of a stay achuza. So says the Gemara Tan Rabban, we have a braisa. How do I know that if you have a case where a guy bought a field from his father, he was makdishit before his father died, and then his father died afterwards, how do I know that in that situation we treat it like a steachuza, meaning like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? How do I know that we treat it like a steachuza? Tamalomar v'im miknasa shalomi steachuza so sada shein ruy elio steachuza yatzu shuruy elio steachuza div Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon darshin that the pasuk says in order for something to be a stei mikna, it has to be lomi steachuza so, which means that it can't even be something that's ra'ui to be a steachuza, but a field that he bought from his father, even though at the time he was makdish, it was not yet his inheritance, since it's ready to be a steachuza, it's already treated like a steachuza. Whereas Reb Meir Omer, minayin lokeach sada me'aviv, umeis aviv achar kach ikdisha, minayin shetel fanav steachuza. Interesting, Reb Meir says, how do I know that if he's makdish the field after his father dies, that it's like a steachuza? We just said in the Mishnah, we just took it for granted. We said, yeah, of course, everyone agrees that if he buys the field from his father, then his father dies, and then he's makdish it, of course it's going to be a steachuza. Ramirez says, no, I'm looking for a drasha. How do I know that that's true? That point that everybody agrees on, how do I know that that's true? So we dash in sada she'ein steachuza, yatzushi steachuza. That a sada mikna is something that is not actively a steachuza, that is not actually a steachuza. This already, by the time he's makdish it, is actually a steachuza. Melitz treated like a steachuza. Whereas apparently Rabbi Yehuda Shimon think that that doesn't require a pasuk. That's pashut, that a steachuza, That a guy who buys a field from his father and then his father dies and then he's makdashid, davar pashut, that that's going to be considered like a steachuza. Why wouldn't it be considered like a steachuza? Apparently Reb Meir says, no, we need a pasuk. Without the pasuk, I would not have known that this gets treated as a steachuza. What would be the svara? Why would I not have known that it's treated like a steachuza? He already yarshined it. Apparently Reb Meir would hold that since it came into his possession through a purchase, that would be considered stei mikna. That would mean that forever it's labeled in his possession as stei mikna, that it doesn't take on the status of stei achuza, because that's how it came into his possession as a stei mikna. That would have been the svara. So I need a pasuk to tell me that it's stei achuza. Whereas Rabbi Rav Shimon say, no, by the time he's makdish it, it's already his achuza, and therefore there's no need for a pasuk. Of course it's stei achuza. What do I need the pasuk for? Only if by the time he's makdish it, it's still not something he had inherited. He only inherits it after he's already makdish it. That's where I need to be told that it's considered a steachuza. So the pasuk comes to add that additional chiddush according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, lema b'hakam iflagi. So what exactly are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon arguing about? Meaning it's clear that the machlokas begins with what assumption we would have made if a guy bought a field from his father and then the father died, then he's makdish it. What would we assume without any pasuk? That Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon would say we clearly assume it's a steachuza because by the time he's makdish it is, and Ramirez says, no, we don't assume it's a steachuza. We need a pasuk to teach me that it's a steachuza. So what is the root of that machlokas? So lema b'hakam ifkid, Ramirez saver kinin peros kikinin aguftami. When a guy buys a field before his father dies, he buys the field from his father before his father dies, he has a kinyan peros in that field. At that point, it's a stei mikna to him for sure, because his father hasn't died yet, and at that point, he would have to go back at Yovel. So that is only a kinyan peros. Do we consider that full-fledged ownership to the point that we say that even if the father subsequently dies and he's makdashit, yeah, but he was already the owner of this field as a stay mikna, and that's why it will be treated like a stay mikna. So Meir says, Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Guftami. He was already the owner when he originally purchased it. That was full-fledged ownership, and therefore the father dying doesn't change anything because he was already the owner. So it would still be treated like a stay mikna. So I need a pasuk to teach me that when the father dies before the hektish, that it's treated like steyachuza. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, Kinyan Peres, Lav, Kinyan Guftami. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon hold, no. When he originally bought the field, all he had was a Kinyan Peres. That's not a Kinyan. That's not considered that he's the genuine, real owner of the field. If he's not the genuine, real owner of the field, then a whole lot changes when his father dies. The whole field now becomes his field. So it's a davar pashut that when the father dies before the hektish, that it's treated like a stei achuza. We view that as a significant event in his ownership of the field, that it's now become a stei achuza. And what do I need the pasuk for? Only for a case where the father dies after he's already makdish the field. So that's what the machloka seems to be about, whether kinyan peres kinyan aguftami or kinyan peres is lav kinyan aguftami. But again, the machloka is not within how the halacha turns out. I mean, kinyan peres kinyan aguft doesn't affect the halacha directly. It affects what the hava amina would have been, and therefore it affects the usage of our pasuk. Which case am I going to apply the pasuk to depends on what I would have assumed without the pasuk. That's the steps in the Gemara. So I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, be Almal Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, Kinyan Peres Kinyan Guftami. Maybe you could even say that even according to Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Guftami, and therefore when the father dies before your makdishit, we do need a pasuk to tell me that that it's treated like a stei achuza, because I would not have known that on my own. Kinyan Peres Kinyan Guftami. So when the father died, so when he was originally koneit, when the son was originally koneit during the father's lifetime, the son did become the full-fledged owner. So not all that much changed when the father died, and therefore it's without any pasukim, I would assume it is a stei achuza. So where's the pasuk therefore to teach me that first step? Meaning, how can it be the Rabbi Shimon apply the pasuk that we had in our Mishnah to teach the second step, that when the father dies after he's makdashit, that it's steyachuza? I need a pasuk to teach me the stage before that, that when the father dies before he's makdashit, that it's a steyachuza. So yeah, v'hacha, kra'ashkach v'darshi, yeah, they have a pasuk. They have a pasuk that teaches me that din as well. Because lichtov rachmana, im mistei miknaso asher lo steyachuza so, inami asher lo steyachuza. My mistei achuza so. Why does the pasuk phrase it in that way? Mistei achuza so. Sada she'in ruy elio stei achuza. Yatzu sheruy elio stei achuza. We dash that it's a field that's not right to be a stei achuza, is a sada mikna. But any field that's right to be a stei achuza cannot be a sada mikna. So that's how we dash in the second step. Mela the pasuk we quote in the Mishnah and the pasuk we quote in the Braisa is free to teach me the first step. Is free to teach me that when the father dies before he's makdashit, that it's treated like a stei achuza. So those are, so it could be that everyone agrees at the end of the day that kinyan peros is kikinyan haguftami. The maskara of the Gemara seems to imply that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda do agree kinyan peros kinyan guftami, that there's no machlokas here. Everyone would agree kinyan peros kinyan guftami. Tosos Masechas Gittin on Daf Mem Chesom and Aleph raises the following question. It's hard to say that Rabbi Yehuda's kinyan peros is kinyan guftami, because we have a Beferisha Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi where it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda's kinyan peros is lav kinyan guftami. The Bryson Baba Kama says if a person sells his evet to somebody else and he makes a deal al menas sheyisham shenu shloshim yom, that the evet will still serve him for another 30 days. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the second adon has the din of yoma yomayim on the evet, because he's the one that has monetary ownership of the evet. The din of yoma yomayim is that if an adon beats up an evet and the evet dies after a day or two, the adon is not held culpable for the death of the evet, but anybody else who does it would be. So who's the real Adon over here? I had the Eved, I sold you the Eved, I kept it for another 30 days. The deal was I get to keep the Eved service for another 30 days. So during these 30 days, you own the Eved, but the Eved is serving me. So I have the Kinyan Peres on the Eved, you have the Kinyan Aguf on the Eved. So is Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Dami or not? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the second Adon has the din of Yom HaYomayim. The first one only has a Kinyan HaPeros, and therefore does not have a din of Yom HaYomayim. And the Gemara says, why? Why does he not have a din of Yom HaYomayim according to Rabbi Yehuda? Kinyan Peros, lav, ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. So Frektos and Gittin, how could our Gemara come to the Maskana that everybody really agrees? Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Aguf Dami. We have Ferish Gemara Baba Kama, the Rabbi Dol's Kinyan Peros is lav, ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. So Tosfos says the Gemara doesn't mean to say that we come to a Maskana over here that Rabbi Yehuda's Kinyan Peros is ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. What our Gemara is trying to say is that you cannot prove from our Mishnah that he holds lav, ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. There may be other proofs out there. In fact, there is in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi that he holds Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami. Our Gemara is just trying to say that you cannot make any logical proof from our Mishnah alone that Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami in the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Ritva points out that the Gemara does that all the time. The Gemara will very often discuss a sugya that we could have been poshet from somewhere else, that we could easily resolve from somewhere else, but Divrei Torah Aniyim B'Makom Echad, Ashirim B'Makom Acher, we sometimes don't give the full discussion, not only sometimes, all the time. That's the way Shas works. We don't give the full discussion in any given spot. You have to know the different Gemaras, and you have to be able to put two and two together to get the fullest picture. Shach always likes to say, you can learn all of Maseches Gittin, and there is some halachas in Gittin that aren't about Get, that aren't in Gittin. There's a halach in Baba Kama about Gittin that doesn't appear in Maseches Gittin. So you have to know that Divrei Torah Aniyim Makom Echad, Ashirim Makom Acher. That's the nature of Divrei Torah. Tosos also points out in the name of the Ri that midin the second teretz that midin yom yomayim you can't learn from to other contexts, meaning it's true in the context of the din of Yom HaYomayim, Rabbi Yehuda holds Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami. That does not mean that in general he'll hold Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami, because by Yom HaYomayim, the Torah says Beferish Kaspo, which teaches me that the Guf has to be Kanoi to the Adon, that you have to actually own it, and it also says Umeis Tachas Yado, which implies that you need to have a Kinyan Peros. So that opens itself up to unique Machlokas Tanayim, which one is the Koveya, because there's a Pasuk that implies Kinyan Aguf is the Koveya, and another pasuk that implies Kinyan Peros is the Koveya. So in that context, Rabbi Yehuda says Kinyan Peros love Kinyan Aguf Dami, that the Kinyan Aguf is the Koveya, not the Kinyan Peros. But that doesn't tell me anything in context where I don't have psukim to tell me one way or the other what exactly the Koveya is. So that's another Teretz Tosos gives as to why perhaps it's not a stira between our sugya and the sugya Maseches Baba Kama Daf Tzadi. So says the Gemara now, Vayter. Two dots on the top of Chavzayin Amar Aleph, about six lines in. HaKohanim VaLevim Makdishin LiOlam. So we said that Kohanim and Levim could be Makdish the field forever, and they could be Goel the field forever, whenever they want. So Bishlam would call in to tell me that they could be Goel the field forever. That's a Chiddush. Itzrich LaFuki Midi Yisrael De Lo Parki El Ad Yovel. Yisrael is Makdish his field. He only has until Yovel to be Goel the field. So a Chiddush. Kohanim and Levim are Makdish a field. They have forever. They have even beyond Yovel. So Kamash Mon, Kohanim and Levim, gold in the Olam. That's why he tells me Kohanim and Levim could be gold forever. Ela Magdishin, my Iria Kohanim Levim, Afil Yisrael Nami. But tell me they could be Makdish their field whenever they want? Of course they could be Makdish their field whenever they want. Yisrael can also be Makdish his field whenever he wants. What's the Chiddush that they could be Makdish forever? So says Gemara V'chite, Mabishnasi Yovel Atzman. No, maybe the Chiddush is that they could be Makdish the field during Yovel, the year of Yovel itself. Well, that's great if you hold it, that's a Chiddush, because that's good if you hold that Yisrael cannot do that, then it's a Chiddush to tell me that Kohanim and Levim can do that. So, but we had a machlokas about that, whether Yisrael could be Makdash field during Yovel. So it works out very well, according to Shmuel, that a Yisrael may not be Makdash field during Yovel. So I understand very well what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, that Kohanim and Levim can be Makdash field during Yovel. So the Chiddush is, the Kohanim and Levim can be El Rav, but according to Rav, that even Yisrael is allowed to be Makdash field during Yovel, then we're we're back to the original question. What's the chiddush that Kohanim and Levim could be makdish afil during Yovel? Yisrael's allowed to do the same. So again, the idea that a Kohen and Levi could be goel afil forever is certainly a great chiddush, because we know certainly Yisrael cannot do that. So it's a chiddush that a Kohen and Levi can. But to be makdish afil forever, if it only means being makdish afil during Yovel, that is not a chiddush at all, according to Rav. Yisrael can do the same thing. So says Gmaral Tamech, Ben Lefnei Yovel, Ben Lachar Yovel Amali. Well, if you can ask kashas like that, are you going to be medayik in every single word in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that they could be Goel Yolam, whether it's before Yovel or after Yovel. What's the chiddush in that line, that whether it's before Yovel or after Yovel? Ella, I did Tana Reish Lefnei Yovel Lachar Yovel, Tavna Sefinami, Ben Lachar Yovel, Ben Lefnei Yovel. Because the earlier Mishnayos in this Perek discussed both Lefnei Yovel and the Achar Yovel, so the Seifas of the later Mishnayos also use that phrase, Ben Lefnei Yovel, Ben Lachar Yovel, but they don't really teach, it doesn't really teach me anything new. Vaidi Tana Reisha in Makdishin v'lo Goalin, Tana Nami Seifa Makdishin v'Goalin. And since the Reisha taught me in Makdishin v'lo Goalin, so the Seifa also teaches me Makdishin v'Goalin. But in Achinami, the idea that they could be Makdish forever has no Chiddush whatsoever. It's not a Chiddush at all, according to Rav. So that's, it's just there for parallel sake. Hadron Lachin Makdishin. Now we move on to the eighth and second to last parak of Maseches Erechim. So says the Mishnah, HaMakdish HaSadeu, Mishal She'en Yovel Noeg, the Shita adds in and Rashi adds in Noeg, Mishal She'en Yovel Noeg, if a person is Makdish his field during a time when there is no Yovel, when we're not being Noeg, the Halachas of Yovel, Omer lo psach atarishon. So we tell the owner, the guy who's makdish it, you give the first bid on the field. You tell me how much, you tell Hagdish how much you want to spend to be pod to the field. And Rashi points out, mipnei revach shel hegdish sholom lo tchila. It's beneficial for the bottom line of hegdish to ask him first, before we ask anybody else to put in a bid, because we assume that we're going to get the most money out of him. We'll discuss why we think that in a moment. Shabaylum nosin chomesh, v'chaladam ein nosin chomesh. The baylum, when he puts in a bid, he not only has to give that bid, he has to add an additional fifth. He has to add an additional 25%, which is chomesh milavar. When we say a fifth, we mean what we would call 25%. So since he has to add that additional 25%, so he doesn't. So that's why we assume we're going to get the most money out of him. If you look at Rashi, Shabayim Nosan Chomesh Ulahachi Nakat Bishar She'ena Yovel Noeg. This is the reason why we pick a case Dafka where it's Eina Yovel Noeg is the Bizman Shenoeg Ein Sorach L'Sholah B'Kamet Tifdena. When Yovel is Noeg, we don't have to ask him how much do you want to pay for it. There's a predetermined amount when Yovel is Noeg. Sharei Domek Suvin Beis Korban Non Sela B'Steachuza Kamari. We're clearly talking about a Steachuza, and we know the money of a steachuza when Yovel is Noeg is a set amount. It's the 50 slaim. Ubizman she'in Yovel Noeg niftis b'shavya. But when there's no Yovel, so even though it's a steachuza, you pay whatever it's worth. You pay its actual value, which is not a predetermined amount. Kintani b'shili pirkin ain't steachuza Noeg, ol bizman she'yovel Noeg. The dinim of steachuza of the 50 slaim is only Noeg when Yovel is Noeg. So we're talking about when there's no Yovel Noeg, and that's why it makes sense to ask him this question. What's clear in this actually, let's see weiter in the Mishnah first. Ma'isa be'echad shehikdash sadeh mipnei ra'asa. Mishnah tells a story. There was a guy who was makdish his field because it was just it was a money pit. It was costing him more than it was making him. That's what Rashi says. That's what ra'asa means. That it was yitziyasa merubah l'shevach. The expenses were more than what he was getting out of it. So he was makdish his field. He figured, what do I need the headache? Give hegdash the headache. So amrlo psachat rishon. So they said, okay, you get the first bid, so what do you want to, they tell the guy who's makdish, you get the first bid, how much do you want to pay for it? Amar harei shalika isri. He says, I don't know, a dime? You know, he's coming with a very small number. He says, I'll pay an isser for it. Amar Rabbi Yossi lomer zeh isser el bebeitza. Rabbi Yossi didn't even do that. He said, I'll take an egg out of my fridge and I'll give it to you. He wasn't even offering money. Shehektish nifta b'kesef b'shav kesef. Because hektish could be nifta with a shav kesef as well, doesn't have to necessarily be kesef. So Amar lo, higaticha. They said, sold, you got it. Nimtza mafsidis of Sadeh Lefanov. So it turns out that he lost the Yisr for no reason, and he's stuck with the field anyway. So trying to unload your failing businesses on Hegdish is not a wise idea. You're just going to end up losing whatever minor, it may even be a tiny amount of money, but it's just going to be, you're just going to end up losing that, and you're going to end up back at square one, back with the field as you had it in the first place. So the Mishnah spoke about being Makdish field when there's no Yovel, so the owner gets the first bid. So Omer and Vatanya Kofin, why does it say Omer? We say to him, Psachat Rishon, you give the first bid. Didn't we have a Brisa that says we force him to give the first bid? Sounds much more, much stronger. So says the Gemara, my Omrin nami kofin. Yeah, Omrin means kofin. Viba yisema meyikara Omrin, itzah saiz vilo kofin. Or maybe at first we speak nicely to him. We say, hey, would you like to give a bid? He says, no. We say, okay, give a bid. Then we force him. But at first we make it sound like it's optional to him. Shabbailim nosn chomesh. We give him the first bid because he's going to pay 25% more than that bid, than what he thinks it's worth. So, Mayiri Shabbat Nosu Chomish, typically, died the Chaviva Leitfei Parakla. Why do we have to say that the reason Hegdish can get more money is because from the Bailum, is because the Bailum gives Chomish? Wouldn't Hegdish get more money from the Bailum anyway because it was his field, and when it's your field, you have more of an attachment to it? Sentimental value means something to you, and therefore, that's why Hegdish will get more money for it even without the Chomish? Va'od mitzvah gula ba'adon. And anyway, we have to ask the Bailum first, because it's his mitzvah. The mitzvah of Geula is supposed to be done by the Adon first. So says the Gemara, yeah, those are all good reasons. Chada v'yod kamar. Chada da'aydi d'chaviva le'tfei u'parakla. Number one, since it's beloved to him, he's going to give more. Va'od mitzvah gula ba'adon. Number two, it's his mitzvah. Va'od shabayim nosan chamesh. Number three, the Bailum gives a chamesh as well. So you have all those three reasons are all contributing factors. So basically, this Gemara taught us two things that our Mishnah did not say explicitly. Number one, it teaches us that we forced the Bailim to be Poda first, and which you sort of got the impression from the story the Mishnah told that that's the case, that he wasn't interested in being Poda, and we forced him to be Poda, but the Gemara taught that explicitly. And number two, the second thing it taught us is that there are three reasons for that. There are three reasons why the Bailim goes first. The Pashtus of the Gemara is, according to the Maskana, the pshat in the Mishnah is a person is makdish his field when there's no yovel. We force the Bailum to be poda. The reason we force him to be poda is because it's chaviv, and therefore he's going to give more, and it's his mitzvah, and the Bailum is most of a chomesh. But anybody else not most of a chomesh, so Hegdish is going to make more money. However, you could say that these three reasons are not to explain why we force the pidyon and the bailim, rather the three svaras why we're poseach b'bailim. Not three reasons for the kfiya, but three reasons why we ask the bailim first. Those are two distinct ways to look at the Mishnah. It may be a machlokas rishonim. It happens to be the Rambam in Arachin v'charamin, Perikei, Alacha Aleph, writes that if a person is makdish steachuza, it's mitzvah alav lefdosa, sha'adon kodem, v'imlo ratza ein kofen osa. The Rambam says we don't force him in a typical case. If a guy doesn't want to be podes steachuza, he says, when is that true? Bizman she'mitzvah yovel no heges. When yovel is no heg. But our Mishnah speaks about a case when Yovel is not knowing, and when Yovel is not knowing, we do force him to be poda the field. So asks the Raivar and the Rambam, why would you distinguish between when Yovel is knowing and when Yovel is not knowing? The only reason, Rashi said, the only reason we mention that Yovel is not knowing is because that's when he gives a bid as opposed to just having a set amount of money. But it has nothing to do with whether we're kofa. Sounds from the way Rashi understood the Mishnah that we'd be kofa whether Yovel is knowing or whether Yovel is not knowing, that wouldn't make a single bit of difference, especially since the Mishnah gives three reasons why we are kofa the owner to redeem the field, and some of those reasons are shayich to even cases where Yovel is noeg. It's shayich to say that since he's giving the extra chomesh, that's true when Yovel is noeg as well. So that applies even when Yovel is noeg. So why wouldn't we be kofa based on that? So that's what they try to figure out, where the Rambam got this chilek. Okay, so Kesef Mishnah works on the idea that the Rambam learnt the chilek based on the fact that the Mishnah Dafka spoke about a case of any Yovel Noeg. Aye, the Ravid says some of the Gemara's reasons are Shaykh even Bizman Shal Yovel Noeg. No, maybe the Rambam holds that these reasons are the mitzvah Bialma, but even Bishasha Yovel Noeg, there's a mitzvah L'chachila, yeah, on the Bailam to do it, but these reasons aren't reasons for Kfiya. These reasons are reasons why we suggest that the Bailam is Pasech Tchila, and the Bailam tries to be Podeh. But these are not reasons that we would be Kofes. So again, that could be a Machlokas Rishonim. What are these three reasons for? Are they three reasons for the Bailam putting in a bid, or three reasons for being Kofeh? Okay, says the Gemara Vayit. So we had the guy who had the lemon of a field that he tried to be Makdish to get rid of it. Salem Baka Miflgi. Maybe the argument between Tanakamu says that he offered a coin, and Rabbi Yossi said that he offered an egg. Maybe they're arguing about the following: Rabbi Yossi suffered shava kesef, kesef. Rabbanan suffered shava kesef and kesef. Rabbi Yossi holds shava kesef is just as good as kesef. The Rabbanan holds it's not. Va'kaimulan the shava kesef kesef. But don't we generally pass when shava kesef is as good as kesef that it does have a din of kesef? To kuli alma shava kesef kesef. So everyone could hold shava kesef is like kesef. Va'hachol podim davar shein b'chom shava putuk amifki. Maybe the machlokes over here is, can you be poda with something that when you add a fifth, that extra fifth is going to be less than a shavu pruta, because an egg, a fifth of an egg, is less than a shavu pruta. Tanakama sover iser dika b'chamsha shavu pruta parkinan. Tanakama says when you're dealing with an iser, one quarter of it is worth a pruta, and that's why you can redeem a field with that. Rabbi Yossi kebet anami parkinan bebet, and Rabbi Yossi would say that with an egg also you could be poda. The shita changes it to bebetza, even though the extra fifth will be less than pruta. Amalo yigaticha nimtzav mafsi. If you say he got so the Mishnah said the Hekdesh told him, yeah, okay, it's yours, sold. So he loses the Isser and he's stuck with the field. Stamuk Rabbanan. So why does it say he lost an Isser? Why didn't it say he lost an egg? So the stam last line of the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, that it could only be an Isser, that an egg wouldn't work against Rabbi Yossi. Next Mishnah. Let's say someone puts in a bid on the field and says, I'll take it for 10 slime. Someone else bids 20. Someone else bids 30. Someone else bids 40. The bids keep going higher and higher. Someone finally says 50. Then the guy who said 50 backs out. He gets called Fidi, backs out. So we take a mashkon from his possessions for the 10 extra slime that we lost because his bid didn't come through. We thought we would get 50. So now we'll go to the 40 guy, collect 40 from him, and we take 10 from the guy who said 50 who's backing out. If the 40 guy backs out, we take the 30 and we take 10 from the 40 guy, 10 from the 50 guy. If the guy who said 10 backed out, so now we have nobody in, so the guy who said 20, 30, 40, 50, each of those guys give 10. The guy who said 10, well, we sell it, and if we get 2 for it, the guy who said 10 will give us 8. If we get 3 for it, the guy who said 10 will give us 7. That's the way it's going to work out. Now it turns out that if someone made an original pledge, we hold them to it. Meaning we assume that Hektish has to get that money, even though he lost the bid. Even though at the end of the day someone bid higher than him, we still hold him to paying us a certain amount of money. We don't say, oh, the guy who paid 50 will pay whatever the difference is between what we get and what he had offered. No, even the guy with the losing bid has to pay something. So in the Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek, in Bira Adav, he quotes the Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmo, in the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lubavitcher. The Tzemach Tzedek, the earlier one from hundreds of years ago, Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek was asked the following Shaila. A shamish was a gabai was auctioning off an aliyah, maftir in the shul. Someone bid 100, someone else bid 150. The gabai took one look at the guy who bid 150 and knows that guy is never going to pay 150. So the gabai didn't want to embarrass him and say, sold to the man who said 100 after someone bid 150. So what the gabai did is he said 200. He pretended there was someone else bidding, and he figured I'll pay the extra 50. We'll get this guy who bid 100, he'll get the maftir, I'll give it to him, and he'll pay his 100, and I'll pay the extra 50 that we would have gained, because we're not going to gain anything by giving it to the guy who says 150, he's never going to pay up. The guy who got 100 said, I'm not paying anything. I lost the bid. And I'm so upset that I lost the bid, that my offer doesn't stand. So Tzemach Tzedek says, our Gemara, that he still has to pay the 100. That was his bid. That bid does mean something. Even a losing bid means something. To the extent that Hegdish is not going to get, and we assume Tzedakah has the same status as Hegdish in this regard, to the extent that they're not going to get what they were supposed to get, you have to pay what you originally said you were going to pay. Okay, Habaylim Omer Basim, call it the Omer Be'esrim. Habaylim Kodmin, Mepnei Sheim, Osifin Chomesh. Let's say the Bailum says, I'll give 20. Other people say they'll give 20. The Bailum wins, because when the Bailum says he's going to give 20, he's really going to give 25, because he has to be most of the Chomesh. Omar Echad Arei Sheli Be'esrim Ma'achas. Let's say someone says, I'll give 21. Habaylim Nosim Esrim Sheish. The Bailum wins, because the Bailum's 25 is more than 21, except the Bailum's really got to give 26 now, not just 21. Says Rashi, why? De la Hailo Yavinla, Holva Amru Bailum Esrim, Va'ola Cheshbon Mechomesh Lechavhei. The guy who said 21 doesn't win the bid, because the Bailum's 25 is more than his 21. If we were let the 21 guy win the bid, Hektish would lose out. But the Bailum does have to give that extra sella that guy outbid him by. Plus his own 25. But he does have to give that extra sella. And similarly, back in the Gemara, someone else bid 22, Bailum's got to give 27. In all the cases, he's got to give the few dinarim that he was outbid by. You don't have to give an extra chomesh on the money that you were outbid by. You only have to give a chomesh on your bid, but you do have to pay the extra money that you were outbid by. Let's say someone else bid 26. If the Bailum is willing to pay 31 plus a little bit, plus a dinar, he could win. But if he's not willing to pay that amount, then it goes to the other bidder. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chistaloshan, Rosh Ben Abraham Omid Ben Mekomo, Avalein Ben Abraham Omid Ben Mekomo, Mishalshon Ben Ayan. So the idea that we're only Mimashkin, we only take a Mashkon from the Ben Chamishim for 10 Slayim if the guy who bid 40 is still paying the 40. But if the guy who bid 40 backs out, so then we evenly break up the difference between what we're getting and what the highest bid was between the guy who bid 40 and the guy who bid 50. So we would break it up more evenly. So it says, meaning the first 10 would go to, not more evenly, less evenly. The first guy, the guy who bid 50 would have to give the full 10, and the guy who bid would give the full 10 of the difference between 40 and 50. Once the guy who bids 40 backs out, the difference between 30 and 40 is split between the guy who bid 40 and the guy who bid 50. So it's actually a 15-5 split. So Tanan, Chazar, Bashal, Abraham, Mashkin, not Eser. So Amai, Litein, Bar Chamishin, Ba'adei. Why do we say that we're Mashkin, the guy who bid 40, we say Mashkin, not Eser, we take 10 from him. According to what we just said, we shouldn't take 10 from him. We should take 5 from the guy who bid 50 and 5 from the guy who bid 40. So Deleka ben Chamishin said, no, we misunderstood the Mishnah. When we say that the guy who bid 40 backs out, we then are Mashkin, Eser from him, that's a new case. That's assuming that he was the highest bid, that there never was a guy who bid 50. Chazba ben Shalshim Mashkin min Chatzav ben Esra, Amai Vlita into ben Arbaim Ba'adei, Deleka ben Arbaim. Why, when the guy who bids 30 backs out, do we take 10 from him and not split it between him and the guy who bid 40? Must be that it's another case where there was no ben Arbaim. Chazba ben Esra, Mashkin min Chatzav ben Esra, Amai Vlita ben Shalshim Ba'adei, again, Deleka ben Shalshim. Ihach yeh Masefa, Chazba al Esra, Mokhin Osa B'Shavya, Vinifron Mishal Esra, Samosar. But wait a second, the Sefa says that if the guy who bid 10 backs out, we sell it and we get the difference from the guy who bid 10, lace it to Ben Esrim Ba'adei. You should make the guy who bid 20 split that difference with him. And if you want to answer the same way you answer all the other kashas, that there is no one who bid 20 and that it's a brand new case, there's only one bid then. There's only the one guy who bid 10. So I would say you get the remainder is paid by the guy who bid 10. By the guy! There's only one guy! So we have to go back to the way we originally understood the Mishnah, that it's all one case. That there were five bids, not just one bid in five different cases. Ela Amar Rav Chista Lo Kasha. Kan Basachas, Kan Bazer Chazeh. Difference is, when did they back out? Did they back out all at one time? Or did they back out one right after the other? Tani Nam Yachi Chazru Kulun Ka'echad Mishal Shem B'Neim. If they back out all at the same time, then they each give the same amount. They each have to, were Mimashkin from each of them the same amount. time mashkim in chasav ad eser, elav shmamina kidrav chista shmamina. I, Mishnah says ad eser, so you see Rav Chista must be correct, that there's a difference between whether they back out at the same time, or whether they back out b'zeh azeh. Ikad ramilu mirma, some ask it as a stira. Tanan chasav bo shal aser, mochron also b'shav yev in front of me shal aser samosar, that our Mishnah says that if the guy who bid 10 backs out, we sell it for whatever we could get for it, and the guy who bid 10 pays the difference. Don't we have a price that says that they all split evenly the extra expense, the difference? So that's in that context is where Rav Chista said it's chiddush, that it depends whether it was b'bas achas or b'zeh achar zeh. That's going to make the difference, whether they split the difference evenly or they each guy pays his 10 that he promised over the previous guy. So the Mishnah then went on to say, what about if there's a bidding war between the Bailim and other people? So the Maimer, the Chomesh Adif. So do you mean to say that the Chomesh is going to put his bid over the top? Meaning, what did we say? That if the Bailim bid 20 and someone else bid 21, the Bailim wins because his Chomesh puts him over the top. So is that really true? Raminu, Balabais Omer Besela, Vechron Besela V'Isar, Shal Sela V'Isar Kodim, Menesha Mosav Al Karen. When you're dealing with Meister Sheni, between Pod and Meister Sheni, the Balabais says, I'll be Pod for a Sela. And with the halach is, when a Bailim is Pod his own Meister Sheni, he's got to be Mosav Chomesh. And someone else said, I'll be Pod for a Sela and an Isar, so he bid a little more, that someone else wins. Even though the Bailim's Chomesh would put it at more money, at more value than the other bid. So the reason over here the Bailim wins with his Chomesh is because the Chomesh is a benefit to Hegdish. By Hegdish, we're not only concerned about who has what is objectively the higher bid, we're concerned about what the Hegdish's bottom line is going to be. We're concerned about giving Hegdish the greatest benefit. So that's why the Bailim wins when he bids 20 and someone else bids 21, because that will give Hegdish the greatest benefit. Hasam the Chomesh Rav Chad Balabai is Tifrog Shapir Chumsha Loich Patlan. But over there, when you deal with Maaser Sheni, where it's just a matter of what you bring to Yerushalayim to buy food with, but nothing goes to Hektish anyway, so then we let the highest bid win rather than allowing the Bailim to win. Amar Echa Rei Shali, so someone said, If the Mishnah went on to say that someone says I'll pay 26, so it says Gemara be'esrim chamish nosim shloshim. If someone bid 25, the Bailim's got to give 30. V'leimer Bailim also gaver b'charikin. Why can't the Bailim say no? My bid was 20. This guy bid 25. Hegdish doesn't win now if I win. Meaning my bid was 20 plus a chomesh, so that would be 25 anyway. So let this guy get it instead of me. Why do we say that the Bailim has to pay 30? So the Amr Bailim dinar. No, it must be that the case was that the Bailim's bid wasn't 20, it was 20 plus a dinar. And that's why Hegdish, his bid is actually higher when you add the chomesh. V'lisni dinar, why didn't the Mishnah say that? Well, lo duck, we didn't want to give every single detail in the Mishnah. We didn't give every single little penny that's added in. You want to tell me the Mishnah doesn't mention small amounts like a dinar? But it does. The very last line of the Mishnah says that if someone else bid 26 and the Bailim is willing to give 31 and a dinar, the Bailim would win. So you see, we do mention these tiny amounts like a dinar. It says, that it must be that it's not a dinar of a difference. That's already a lot of money. The Bailim's bid was 20 plus a pruta, and things as small as a pruta, we don't mention. But if the Bailim bid 20 plus pruta, someone else bid 25, the Bailim wins, because when you add the Chomesh, Hegdish is getting one pruta more than they would have gotten from the other guy. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.